good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed, and then remain standing as we offer some prayers this morning. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for peace in our nation and throughout the world as people are struggling very deeply today. We pray for wisdom for our president and for all our political leaders. Break the bowels of war, disarm hatred, and turn the hearts of people toward peace. May your church be a refuge of reconciliation and your people instruments of healing. Lord Jesus, who prayed that we may all be one, heal the divisions in our nation, our communities, and even within your church. Where there is pride, give humility. Where there is fear, give courage. Where there is hate, plant your love. Help us to listen more than we speak, and always to see your image in every person we meet. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning. Savannah, how you can take such a pretty face and contort it into a very odd thing. We appreciate her. And again, next Sunday morning is Jimmy Bratcher is going to be here. It's the 4th of July weekend. We always just do the one service at 9 o'clock. Jimmy will be here with his blues guitar, and we're going to be rocking out with the band. It's a lot of fun. And then there's going to be that bike blessing after the service, so you want to be around for that. And then my friend, Greg Stubbe, Special Forces soldier, and a Green Beret, was badly wounded in Afghanistan. He was here years ago. I don't know if you guys remember, but he's had an amazing story. He was blown to smithereens in Afghanistan. He looks fine now, but it's just what a testament to the grace of God and how the skills of doctors, how they can put that back together again. But he has an amazing story as we reflect on the freedoms in our nation that we'll celebrate next weekend. So you don't want to miss that. And don't come at 10:30. No one will be here. All right. This Sunday, we want to take a look at the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, now remember, this is after his resurrection, they all gathered together, they worshiped him, but some doubted, which is stunning to me. You would think, you know, if Jesus could show up right now in the flesh and talk to y'all, there'll still be people here who won't believe it. You know, people, you know, unbelief is a hard thing that people just can't seem to let go of. I've used this analogy many times. If one of you, God forbid, falls over dead this morning, and we rush over to you, and one of the nurses or doctors here say, you know, they're dead, they're just dead. And I go down and pray for them, and in a few minutes they rise again. You know, most of you would think, I probably just had gas, right? He probably wasn't really dead. You know, there's something in us we just don't want to believe. Jesus himself, being raised from the dead, is right there in front of them, and it points out that some still doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always till the very end of the age. We are now in the season of after Pentecost. It's most often referred to in liturgical circles as ordinary time. We got the green stoles known, and it'll stay like this until we get to Christmas. It's the longest period of time in the church. I don't like that phrase, ordinary time, as if, you know, as boring. It's not boring. We like to use the phrase, we are in the season of Pentecost. Pentecost came. Now we live out the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Today, we're going to reflect on Trinity, what's referred to as Trinity Sunday. Actually, it's been delayed by 2 weeks for us here. Trinity Sunday is always the first Sunday after Pentecost. Well, this year it fell on Father's Day, and we had a special guest speaker for Father's Day, and last Sunday I was out of town, so we didn't get to them. So we're going to do it today, better late than never, but we want to talk about this concept of the Trinity. It's the only Sunday in the liturgical calendar dedicated to a doctrine rather than an event. Most Sundays is some event somewhere in the scripture that we reflect on. You know, for example, Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, Easter the resurrection, Pentecost, which we just celebrated, of the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming in. But Trinity Sunday asks us not to reflect on something that has happened, but to contemplate the very nature of God himself. The Trinity is perhaps the most mysterious doctrine of the Christian faith. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, not one God playing three different roles, but one divine essence shared by three distinct persons. You see, that's kind of hard to grasp. Yeah, it is. It's not something to be explained so much as it's a mystery to delve into. The best reflection we have of it in nature itself is of water. Water is made of what? H2O. Get it hot enough, it turns into steam, and steam is made of H2O. And as we all painfully are aware, get it cold enough, you can drive a semi-truck on it. All right, on the lakes. What is it? It's called ice, but it's still exactly H2O. Three very distinct experiences, but it's only one thing. So that's part of the best analogy. And no analogy is perfect, but that's the best analogy that we have. So the Trinity is not a math problem to solve, but a mystery to worship. And that's good news, because we don't need a God that we can figure out. We need a God that we can worship. And we don't always have to have all the answers to everything. Yeah, I know we're Americans and we want to look and open up and see how it works and what the deal is. If you could figure out God, that's really not much of a God. You know, this is true in so many areas of the church. You know, you think about the end times. Now, at the end of every service, I always give out my email. So if you have any questions or concerns, you can contact me. I'd love to respond with you. The one email I get more than anything else on one subject is, what about the end times? Can't you teach on the end times? Can't you teach on the book of Revelations? And I always playfully say, well, sure, but I don't understand it, you know. And then I get all these emails saying, you know, if you go to this website, you can figure it out. And if you listen to the sermon by Pastor So-and-so, he'll explain it to you. And if you watch this or read this book by Dr. XX, he'll explain. You know, look, I can Google with the best of you. I know how to go online and find other people. But you have to remember, when these people are telling you what it means, they're telling you what they think it means. They don't know for sure. And there's no reason to have to know for sure. Oftentimes, we miss the whole point of these things. For example, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter's talking about the end times. And we find this throughout the New Testament. And he writes this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." So what does that mean? I think it means the most intense global warming you'll ever experience in eternity. Everything is going to go up in flames, all right? Now, since everything will be destroyed in this way, he wraps it up with this question. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy in godly lives. And virtually every prophecy, end times anything, in the New Testament ends with, therefore, what manner of lives we should live. The purpose of end times, you say, well, it kind of freaks me out. That's kind of the point. It's to kind of creep you out a little bit because it's coming. You don't need to understand everything. But the point is, let's be ready. Let's live good lives. And whether you get around to the end times or not, or if you don't live that long, you're all going to die at some point. Isn't that encouraging this morning? He said, we're all going to be dead. We are, just not today, praise God. Anyway, you don't have to understand everything. The point of that stuff is, let's be good people. Let's follow Christ. If God can be fully understood, then he's not much of a God, is he? Isaiah 55, verse 8, the prophet writes, this is God speaking through him. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it's not necessarily something we have to figure out. You're not going to figure out anything like that. God is very, very deep. And if you run into areas where you go, I just don't understand it, welcome to the life, okay? God is so high. It's got to be like talking to a dog. You know, not that we're dogs, but you know how you talk to a dog and you're being as open and sincere as you can be, and he kind of looks at you like, what? That's kind of us sometimes with God. He is so much bigger and brighter than we are. So anyway, in Matthew 8:28 that we just read, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, name, not names. One name, three persons. It's not a hierarchy, but it's a fellowship. From eternity, God has existed in a relationship of love. The Father loving the Son responding in love, the Spirit binding us together in love. In other words, God is love. And love not as an activity, but as an identity. Before God created anything, he was already love. I love watching these documentaries. If you haven't done it, you know, we all watch too much television and stuff, but search around and find some of these near-death documentaries. It's fascinating. This is relatively new because we didn't have this medical capability of when someone dies to zap them and bring them back again, right? And they've been getting these reports from all over the world. It's amazing how similar they all are. And the one thing that they all say as they felt themselves lifting out of their bodies and going into the presence of God is the intense love they sensed. It's universal. It's like, man, just the love that I felt. And most of them didn't want to come back. You know, we all bring them back, Lord, if they had their way. No, leave me alone. I don't come back in here. But just the incredible love. Why is that? Because God is love, the Bible says. So it makes sense that when you're going into the next world, the presence of love, the overwhelming sense of love is very powerful. And here's the amazing thing. This divine love isn't closed off. Through Jesus, God invites all of us into that eternal fellowship of God. And God is love. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So the Trinity is not just a theological idea. It's a pattern of mission. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the church. The church empowers the church for this mission. And the church is not an institution that invented mission. The church is the result of God's mission. And now we are caught up in this overflow of love, a love that moves us outward. If your version of faith just includes you and your family, it's not a biblical version of faith. Indeed, you should love and fellowship and build a very strong family and enjoy that. But true faith is always reaching out, helping the needy, sharing the gospel with others, praying and caring for others more than just ourselves. To believe in the Trinity is to know that God is not distant or static. God is dynamic, always moving outward in love toward his creation, toward redemption, and toward renewal. And in baptism, we are named in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not a formula. It's a reorientation. To be baptized into the triune name is to have our identity reshaped. We're no longer just individuals. We belong to a divine family. The Trinity is not just a doctrine to recite. It's the reality that gives meaning to our lives. And we basically recite it every week when we recite the Apostles' Creeds. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are children of the Father, adopted by grace. We are brothers and sisters of the Son, co-heirs with Christ. And we are temples of the Holy Spirit, empowered for witness and to reach outward. So this Sunday reminds us that God is more mysterious, more beautiful, and more relational than we could ever imagine. The Trinity is not a riddle to frustrate our minds, but a love that draws us in and then sends us out. So today, don't try to solve the Trinity. We enter into its mystery. We worship the Father who made us, the Son who saved us, and the Spirit who fills us. And as Jesus said at the end, "Behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is the voice of the triune God, eternal, faithful, and always present with us. Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion now. Our ushers are going to get ready to hand out the elements. This is when we turn our attention to what all of this is about. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world to make all of this possible for us to experience. And we are commanded to celebrate this. And he says, every time you celebrate this, you're celebrating my death until I return. But the Bible says before we take this, we should examine ourselves. So with that thought in mind, let's bow our heads as I pray a prayer of forgiveness for over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we take of the bread and the cup this morning, and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause to examine ourselves. If we've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed by what we've done or by what we've left undone, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved our neighbors as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins. And as heads are bowed, people are reflecting. Maybe you're here with us this morning thinking, you know, I don't know. I've never really experienced what you guys are talking about, singing about, celebrating, preaching about. Well, you can right now. In your own words, just whisper out to God. Say, "Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins." And you can take your first steps of faith with us here this morning as we celebrate this communion together. Amen.